Welcome back to this special podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. It's Dan Darling, pastor and author and VP of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which I think is really an essential passage in Scripture. This is Paul presenting an apologetic of the Christian faith, really of the resurrection. And the whole thesis of 1 Corinthians 15 is, if Jesus is raised from the dead, if Jesus rose again from the dead, then everything changes. And all of this is true. But all of the Christian faith, everything hinges on this. And I think about Paul, you know, he at first was a skeptic of the Christian claims as a faithful Jew, trained by the best Jewish teacher at the time, Gamaliel. He actually persecuted Christians and was very skeptical of it. But then he had this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had his own encounter with Jesus. He is called to become an apostle, and mainly an apostle to the Gentiles. Think of everything he left behind. He left behind his Jewish family, his reputation, everything, to follow this kind of crazy movement of people who believe that this rabbi from Nazareth rose from the dead. But Paul says all of that, he's doing all of this, and all of this is hinging on one fact. Did Jesus rise from the dead? And he makes the claim in here that yes, Jesus rose from the dead. He prevents evidence. There's over 500 people who saw Jesus after his death. He kind of walks through why this matters. But one of the most important parts of this is, if Jesus rose from the dead, what does that mean? And he means to say that it means a couple of things. One, that sin and death that so permeates the human experience and corrupts the world, the cosmos, the creation, the universe, that Christ has defeated that. And then there's a reversal of that curse of sin from Adam, number one. That's number two, he's saying, if this is true, then it has real implications, not just for our souls, but for our bodies. And I think this is a great hope for the Christian, especially during this time. When we're seeing death, we're seeing viruses, we're seeing all these things kind of run through and affect people. Why does this happen? And what is the hope? And so I want to read a few verses in this great chapter. I encourage you to read the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, to really be encouraged. But I want to read a few verses. Verse 20, he says, "But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so as in also in Christ all will be made alive." So what he's saying is, just as Adam, his sin, initiated the curse by which the world and the planet, the universe, and human beings are cursed by sin. Not only do we sin, but the curse means that there's thorns and thistles. It means there's diseases. It means there's death. So just as Adam initiated that, the second Adam, Jesus, by his death and resurrection, reverses that curse. That's important for us to know, that this whole ongoing cycle of misery and death that has been circling through the world since Eden is not permanent. It's not the original design of the universe, and it's not permanent, that there's something better coming. Then verse 23, "But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits afterward at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet." So he's saying that Christ is the first fruits, the first one to rise from the dead. Then we too who are in him will rise again, body and soul. Jesus said this to Mary and Martha about their brother Lazarus, that he that believes in me will rise again, in John chapter 11. But then he says, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and authority and power. In other words, Christ is supreme ruler and authority over all the world. We think governments are, and politicians are, and movements are, but they will fail. They're flawed and they're fallible. Christ is infallible. Christ is the supreme ruler. "For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet." So Christ will trample all of his enemies. But what is the last enemy? What is the worst enemy of all the enemies of Christ? The last enemy to be abolished is death. So here's something to think about as Christians. Sometimes we get flippant about death and we say, well, we're Christians, we're going to see our loved ones again, it's not a big deal. No, the Bible says death isn't the enemy. It's the work of Satan. We should always grieve death. We should always hate death. We should, like Jesus, when he opens the corpse of his, or when he looks at the corpse of his friend Lazarus, this rotting corpse, he is weeping, but the Bible says he's raging inside. He's angry at death. This is the work of the enemy. This is the enemy. Sometimes Christian funerals can be a little bit too flippant. Like, oh, no big deal. We're going to see our loved ones again. Yes, we have that hope. I'm going to get to that in a second. But we should grieve death. We should hate. We should hate viruses. We should hate murder. We should hate anything that kills people. We should hate anything that makes people sick. This is the work of the enemy. And it's good to know this. But God has put everything, it says in verse 27, under his feet. Now, when it says everything is under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. When everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, that God may be all in all. So he has defeated sin and death. Christ has defeated this. This virus is defeated ultimately in the end when God raises us up from the dead, when he renews and restores all things. Death has been defeated. What a great promise. And then I want to kind of skip down to the last part of the chapter, verse 52. Now, let's go back to verse 50. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can corruption inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We'll not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this incorruptible body must be clothed with corruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory, where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, think about this. He's saying that there is going to be a day when the trumpet will sound and Christ will return as the victorious king, not as the suffering servant, not as a humble baby, but as the victorious king over the universe, having conquered all his enemies, the chief enemy being death, the things that mar the human experience, the things that make the universe, make the creation, as it says in Romans, groan and travail, waiting for redemption. The Bible says, no, the trumpet will sound, and our bodies will be raised again. It says we will go from corruptible bodies, bodies that can be susceptible to viruses like COVID-19, bodies that can get cancer and can get all kinds of diseases, bodies that break down and wear down, they get tired, and we're going to put on incorruptible bodies, bodies that will not be susceptible to the ravages of the curse. So we will have sanctified souls. We will no longer sin, but we will have sanctified bodies. This tells us that what we look forward to when Jesus comes back is not just some fuzzy, weird, we're in heaven, you know, having endless church services and we're floating on clouds. No, heaven and the New Jerusalem and the New Kingdom will be real. It'll be more real than this right now. And it tells us that God deeply cares about our human bodies. He cares about sickness and death. He fashioned our human bodies. And what he's doing in the gospel is rescuing our bodies. Jesus came as a human being, not as just this like wispy spirit. He didn't come as a disembodied spirit. He came as a human being. And he is human today. And in the resurrection, he will resurrect our human bodies. What a great hope that is for those who suffer. What a great hope that is for those who labor in pain. What a great hope for when we grow old, when we grow weary, when we see children afflicted with cancer and other diseases, as we see all these things, that one day God will resurrect his people, those who are in Christ, to a new and glorified and perfected body. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory, where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think there's two words here There's one word for the Christian, one word for those who do not know Christ. First, the word for the Christian is verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We can be steadfast. We can be immovable. We can have courage. We can have hope because we look forward to the resurrection of our bodies one day. For those who are not yet believers, I want to say this. Jesus is coming back again. He will do what he said he would do. He's coming back to renew and restore the world. There's a better world coming, a world without sickness and death and pain. And I want to say to you, now is the time to turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. Now is the time to trust Jesus, that he has defeated sin, death, and the grave. He has taken on the sin and the punishment for the sin that you and I have committed. And he's taken that punishment. God has executed his justice. And he's offering mercy and grace in Christ. That if you believe in him as your Lord and Savior, God will give you eternal life. And he will raise you up at the last day, body and soul. What a great, awesome hope. What a great promise. And I just want to implore you today, now as we're all thinking about mortality and death, we're all thinking about our frailty and vulnerability. We're thinking about how hard and difficult life is. We're more aware of death. We're more aware of our frailty, more aware of diseases. We're fighting to push this back, and we should. There's a day coming when Christ will make all things new. And if you are in Christ, take hope in that. If you do not know Jesus, if you have not wrestled with the claims of Jesus, would you today, right now, trust him? Thank you for joining me today on this special podcast series, Christians in the Time of Coronavirus.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercouli, your host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.